everyone, and welcome to Thoroughbred Weekly. We are live from Scone, the home of the Thoroughbred, and unfortunately the rain has set in here for today's country championship heat for the Hunter in Northwest. It was pouring down on the road up last night through Singleton, and then we got to Musselbrook and Scone, and it was still raining, and rain overnight. Posted as a soft five this morning, but it has deteriorated since then. We're working on a heavy track right now, and the rain is continuing. But at Randwick, the rain was thereabouts in the morning. We got a bit of clear weather throughout the afternoon, and then it came back in after the last. However, it was always going to be the heaviest of tracks. We had two Group 1s. First of all, it was Chris Lees beating the Hawks team, and then it was the Hawks team beating Chris Lees. To dissect the whole day, Ron Dubbs and Nick Ashman, who are with me at Randwick. Good morning, boys.
Yeah, good morning, Greg. I'm surprised we had a day. Any other day with the old track, that would have been off on Thursday, that meeting. So, look, I know we had a terribly biased track and we had to go to the outside fence, but considering the circumstances, it's alleged the woman also tried to drown her 9-year-old son, who is in a stable condition in a Melbourne hospital, while the woman is in custody and police have confirmed she will face further charges in court tomorrow. UK superstar Adele has played her first Brisbane show with her two-hour set kicking off with her 2015 number one hit, Hello.
We did see some horses cut the corner and shift out and still get the cash.
Her sequined plum ball gown may not have been the best choice given the warm conditions, admitting that even her eyelids were sweating.
Well, the man who set the tone, who decided from the very first race that the lane out wide was the place to go, was Tommy Berry. And he's joining us on the phone before he heads to Canberra for the Black Opal today. Tommy, you had a great day. I know you would have loved to have won on Chautauqua, but overall, you would have been happy walking away from Randwick yesterday.
Yeah, no, definitely, Greg. Yeah, it was a great day racing. Couldn't believe they were on as dust. It was amazing with how much rain they've had and that they were able to still race. And it's just a testament to the guys that worked on the track. And that new drainage system is obviously working very well.
Okay, tell us about when you walked the track before the first and that plan you devised to head to the outside on Frolic Race 1. President
Obama calls the game. Yeah, well, as you well know, I walk the track every meeting I ride at. Officials say you get a really good understanding of the tracks that you walk at. When I walked around with yesterday before the first, it was the first time that I've seen such a big difference from the outside to the inside. But to get that difference, you pretty much had to go right to the outside fence. You know, it was a massive difference. It was, it felt like probably a soft 7 out wide and a heavy 9 for the rest of the track. So I wanted to go out there in the first race. I thought I'd better because it is a small field and I'd be making such a big shift.
It was a brave call, Tommy, so there's no pattern in place, so you put your judgment on the line. Obviously, the stewards have had jockeys in before that have just singled out to go to the outside pit, so that's why you've covered that base.
Yeah, definitely. Look, as you said, it was a big call. I felt I had to back my judgment. As you said, I wanted to cover all bases and speak to the stewards and let them know what my thoughts were and see what their thoughts were about it as well. And to be fair to them, they put the ball in my court and said, if you feel that's the right place to go, we'd encourage you to go with your instincts. And thankfully, Mike Freeman was of the same opinion.
You're right here in the slipper.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've spoken to the manager this morning and we'll be speaking to the Freeman team sometime during the day, but I definitely think that she'll be my ride.
Tommy, the way she finished off and given the amount of ground she covered and it was a wet track even out wide where you were, do you feel like she's going to be even better when she gets to the 1400 and the 1600 and assuming she pulls up well from the slipper if she goes there in the size and champagne?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I don't think that a slipper is really her main aim. I think more size champagne is going to be where she's most effective. Once she gets over the trip, it's hard not to go to a slipper after the way she went. today. We know what Slipper's like. It's full of speed. There's going to be a lot of pressure on. She's going to be sitting back and storming home late. The worst she can do is hit the line strong and pretty much stamp herself as a top of size champagne champ. You know, she's not going to lose any admirers for going there and running well.
Who's the horse to beat in your eyes, Tommy, and the Slipper at the moment?
Okay, let's go to the big one of the day, the Randwick Guineas, the million-dollar race, Team Hawk Saddle Up Inference. A horse that hasn't had a lot of luck in his career, a horse that the stable have a lot of faith in. And you had a lot of faith in the horse too, taking that run on the outside fence. Take us through what you were thinking when Brenton wasn't giving you a lot of room on Invincible Gem.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad Brenton didn't know I was there because he probably would have put me over the outside. I felt like I was making good ground halfway down the straight, and I knew I was winning the 300 metre mark, but Brenton sort of started to worry me a little bit because he was shifting out and back in, and I thought about going inside of him a few times, but I knew if I did that I wouldn't win because I would have had to break my horse's momentum, and I don't think I would have been able to get it going again, so I took the chance of sticking to the outside. I pulled the stick through to my right hand and pushed him right up against that outside rail, and he pinned his ears back and really toughed it out strong to the line.
Tommy, he looks a horse that will continue to improve this preparation. That was just a one-hit wonder. He's going to get better when he gets to Rosehill for the Guineas, and maybe even better again when he gets to a Derby.
Possible afternoon shower there.
Yeah, he's got a lot of improvement. He's carrying a lot of position first up, and that showed he really gave out the last furlong. But he's just a lot to be going in there today. And, that tough hard run on a wet track will definitely go in his favour. You know, he'll slip a lot fitter off that. He's not the sort of horse that will go home and talk about it. A tough run, he'll probably come on from it. And he's only going to be better when he gets to the Derby. And really, Melbourne should have probably run a clear second in the Derby. So, we know he can stay the trip, and he's relaxing a lot better this prep than he was last prep, and I think that's the key to him, because last prep he was running 2,000 past pulling the whole way.
Just listening to you there, Tommy, it sounds like you're not really concerned that he might have a flat run next time out, which as a form student you sort of look at a horse second up on a mile on a testing track covering that much ground, and I just had that slight query in my head that he's entitled to run a bit flat next time, but obviously it's not a query for you.
No, I don't think so. Like I said, he's pretty good guru. Very clean winded horse. He pulled up after the race yesterday. Mount Yardie. He looked like he barely got around. He deserved a lot of damage yesterday, pretty much spurred over 600 metres. Lots of things. Not one of those horses that'll go up and stock in the box. He's a pretty culty type, and he's pretty good, and I'm sure he'll show that again next time.
Did the course manager Lindsay Murphy or anyone offer you a pair of second pairs or anything to do some head spinning next time you go around?
No, I think I did it for him. They won't have to cut it back for next week.
Well, let's hear from one of the co-trainers, Michael Hawkes, who was there after the big win of Inference in the Randwick Guineas.
He's got a lot of untapped potential. He's went ever so close in the Victoria Derby. And, second up today, a mile, especially on this bog track, because it is literally a bog. I said to Tom, if you're going to win, it's going to be the last 100, and just be patient. Anyway, the rest is history.
I thought he was going to come over the fence there at one stage. There was no room.
No, there wasn't any room. He got a bit blocked up for a run there, but he just kept pushing through. But, I think the best part about this horse is, we trained Mum. She had a lot of potential. It's been a great group of clients. They've been with us from day dot, Lindsay Maxted and co. And, obviously, so you think we're going great at the moment, but he's a horse with really untapped potential.
Is this one a bit of a bonus, keeping in mind that maybe the Guineas, Rose Hill and the Derby might have been more to his liking other than the mile?
Yeah, I agree. I said to the owners before, I said, look, if he wins today, he's never going to build it alone because he's second up, bog track, Rosehill Guineas is obviously the one we're chasing, and obviously into the Derby. So, you know, he's got a lot of untapped potential, and it just worked out that way.
Okay, Duff, before we move on to the Canterbury Stakes, a comment of Nick also on the Beaten Brigade.
Well, it's all about the winner now. He's got the boom on him, and he has to, you know, probably shape up and deliver now, because everyone's on him. We know he's a good horse. I know it was where working with heavy 10 form, but that was a serious win. I actually liked him yesterday, and I just thought in the yard that I got a little bit of cold feet thinking, well, you might just need another one. So I think it's all upside with him. That filly Invincible Gem, she has done an amazing job coming from nowhere. Coming through, well, he was the one with the boom on him. That was his problem. He had every hope, and he ran well. But his issue was he had the boom coming into the race. So maybe gets a little bit of pressure off him now with that win of that horse. Now, at the Come Derby Day, this horse, Impavida, that could be the main threat. I know there's a lot of races to come before we start talking derbies, but
still in his first prep to him.
Yeah, so the market's reacting to Impavida there. He's in his more or less his first prep, and he's already at $15. But I thought his staying performance yesterday for an inexperienced horse outside the winner is the best in that race.
And he got a bump there at about the 300-metre mark, and it cost him his momentum. I think coming through is going to progress to the Rosehill Guineas and then possibly onto the Derby as well. So there was a bit of talk that he might go through or have a crack at a Doncaster. It looks like he's going to stick to the three-year-old races for now.
Okay, let's hear from the Beaten Jockeys.
Brendan Abdullah, Invincible Gem.
She's terrific. Obviously, she's come a long way. It's a bit heartbreaking to get beat like that.
Zach Burton Malaise.
He travelled well to the 500-metre mark when the leader started to quicken. Got him off the beat and he didn't handle the track then.
Ty England, Impavido.
Went really good. Had a nice run. Just up the straight. Inside horses come out. Got him really tight. Wasn't brilliant to get through the runs where the winner was. Well, it's been good, but probably looking for a Derby trip.
Kieran McAvoy, Harper's Choice.
It was a nice effort. Travelled up well behind Man From Uncle, and I was moving into it nicely from the 500. Just didn't love the ground when he was completely off the bridle. So we had the 2,000 suits with better ground, and he can run a nice race at Rosehill.
Joe Marrera coming through.
Lovely run. Had a beautiful run through the fence and was able to come out when I wanted to. And he ran home strongly, but obviously not able to go past the leader and some other horse that will end up in front of him. I think he's just a horse that in 6 months' time will be a very nice one.
Blake Shin, Akatura.
Look, he didn't handle the ground that well. He stepped slow, with a name like Adonicus.
I bet you had your challenges as a young bloke.
Yeah, the ground.
Jason Collett, Man From Uncle.
He got into a nice spot. Was happy, relaxed. Just when we asked him to cook, and he just wasn't able to get on the ground.
Okay, that's the Randwick Guineas. Tommy Berry stays with us. Duff, I want you to talk to Tommy about this next race. And, of course, all honours with Lur remain the winner. But Chautauqua was such a big talking point, the ride of Tommy on Chautauqua. You take it away.
Yeah, look, it was a great performance. Look, you've got the three horses heading to the outside fence here. Chautauqua cut the corner. It's been well documented that he's got to get into his rhythm. And, geez, he didn't want to be in his rhythm early. So it was a great performance, Tommy. And, look, it's been a ride that's been talked about for the last 24 hours since, or the last 12 hours or so since the race. A lot of good judges are saying it's the great best ride they've ever seen. A lot of other judges are saying, you know, sectionally between the six and the two, he burnt the candle there. What would you rate your ride in this race?
Probably 7 out of 10. If there's anything I did wrong, was probably get the horse too early on him. People probably criticise the early part of the race. Well, I've done that on him plenty of times before. He's the sort of horse you've got to give confidence, and by getting him out of his comfort zone early, it's the first way to get him beat. He wasn't handling the track in the early stages, so I let him just sit on him and let him cruise through the first part of the race. The only problem with that was from the half mile to probably the 600, I had to use a fair bit of gas to catch up with the rest of them, and I felt that with what I had to use sort of between the half mile and the 600 by going around them, I would have peaked at the furlong and ran out of gas, so I decided to cut the corner, save it, most of my ground there, quickened through the ground, probably better than I expected him to, and probably got there just a little bit too early, but he was very gallant for the feet.
something. We've seen it before, but what is it about this horse? We're seeing him at the back of the field here, almost disinterested. What is it about Chautauqua, and what are you feeling from the horse mid-race?
Yeah, it's just lost the confidence. You know, like sometimes like today, it was a wet track. You were slow away.
Yeah, and the rest, as they say,
struggled to muster. They went very quickly, though.
I want to take you back to the SCG, mate, July 8th, 1972.
They were pretty quick in the early stages.
You play your first test.
They definitely kicked on well.
You defeat New Zealand. But in the side,
he doesn't have the speed probably that he used to when he was a younger horse.
Just the three immortals.
By getting him out of his comfort zone, I think.
And Beaton, how was it for a young bloke to be playing with such stars of the game of rugby league?
He's done his races as well, when I've been to him and left him alone.
John's a hard marker. John Hawkes is a hard marker. Did you speak to him last night? Did he have any criticism or pat you on the back? What did he have to say?
Yeah, look, I spoke to him last night, and he probably thought I got to the front a little bit too early. Probably thought I should have held him a little bit more into the straight, but as I said, I didn't think I'd quicken that well on the ground, you know, but he did. He just let down so well in it. From the way he travelled early in the race on the ground, I just thought I might struggle to pick him up, and it was very hard to gauge where they were on the outside of the track. You know, this game is won and lost by inches, as I said, I probably just got there a little bit too early yesterday.
In your defence, a lot of people say, oh, you should have come to the outside. It's very hard to come out to the outside on horses on your own when you're not travelling. So I thought you had no option as far as that stage of the race was concerned.
Yeah, definitely. I stick by what I did, coming to the corner and Blake Shin won on pretty much the same thing the race after. As you said, it's hard when you're sort of off the bit, going nowhere to make your own run right around the field. But I know he's done it in a TJ Smith a couple of times, but he made a run from the 600 when he was winning the TJ Smith on both occasions, where yesterday, as I said, I pretty much had to catch up on the half mile of the 600 side. I made a 200 metre run just to catch up to him, and then he quickened so well in the straight, so he was definitely entitled to feel the pinch late. But I think what we can take out of yesterday is it's going towards George Ryder and the Doncaster. He's looking an awful lot better now,
I'll ride him
a lot more, like, not as much now, like he's going to get them off.
Tommy, with going up in trip, as we know, with horses that step up in distance, they tend to be able to settle closer to the speed without being taken outside their comfort zone because of the natural pace in their legs. Do you think that'll be the case with him, or do you see yourself still out the back in these 1,500 and mile races?
No, I don't. I've seen him being a lot closer. Look, he's a hard horse to gauge. I thought I'd be a bit close yesterday, but as I said,
Bozo had a blind in the
third
test.
They did run along early, but look, when I rode him in the all-age stakes, I made a mistake. You know, they ran along the first furlong and a half, and then when they eased up, I'm not sure if you remember, but I couldn't hold him. He clipped heels, almost come down, and ended up three deep from Barry 1, so I didn't want to make that mistake again of them putting the brakes and coming into that first corner and him grabbing hold of the bridle and not being able to bring him back. So when he wasn't in on the track that well and wasn't showing the speed, I just, you know, like I have done on him in the past, just felt that I'd get him in his comfort zone and keep him a happy horse, and I've got that much faith in Nick Roy. I know what he can do. I know that how good he is and how quick he can reel off 600 metre sectional, so I've never really been worried about what I spot him at the start of the race, because the fact of pretty much most races, they always ease up at one stage of the race, and that's usually when he catches up to
him. Tommy, we're going to let you go. I know you're off to Canberra today, and it's going to be a very, very tough day down there for everyone. Rhianna Thompson's going to be in everyone's thoughts down there today, and she was in your thoughts yesterday when you won on Rocket Commander, and you dedicated that win to the girl who sadly passed away a day or so ago.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a very, very sad day for everyone here, and you know, Canberra brought my second home.
One thing that underscored everything you did on the field,
everyone's hurting, and
was the competitiveness.
It's going to be a sad day for the day for everyone to get together and remember Rihanna for a beautiful girl she was, and the beautiful smile she always had on her face. So, thanks, guys.
Take care today, Tommy. Thanks for joining us.
Call us. Cheers, pleasure. Thank you. Whatever you
call it, but okay, boys, we've covered off on Chautauqua. We haven't given the due respect to the winner, Le Romaine. He was the winner of the Randwick Guineas. A lot of the talk, Duff, was about Chautauqua, but let's look at this horse. He's third Group 1. He won on this day last year. He won the Randwick Guineas. Since then, he's won a Cantala Stakes. He keeps lifting the bar, and I think his trainer, Chris Lees, has well and truly come of age as a top-class trainer.
Well, Chris came of age a long time ago as a top-class trainer, but he's just becoming... he's getting better and better. He's in the prime of his training career now. We know his father was a great trainer, but Chris has really taken over the mantle as one of our best trainers. And he's producing Group 1 winners at left, right and centre. This horse, I know we keep saying he's the giant killer and he's overachieving, but that's three group wins. It's pretty hard to do. He's really matured into a really good horse. You know, when a horse like Chautauqua heads you, and you fight back and beat him, I know there's circumstances there, but he's an absolute
I think I saw a stat, someone put a stat out on Twitter during the week saying about Chris Lees' strike rate in Group 1 races, which was something phenomenal. I think it was like 18% or something like that. It was something absolutely phenomenal, and his strike rate in general at the moment has been fantastic this season. So he did say that if the horse progresses to the Doncaster and races well, either wins or goes close to winning, he'll back it up in the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, Chris is, you know, he doesn't get too excited or ahead of himself. He just lets the horses speak for themselves. But he just got you can feel that he's got a lot of confidence in this horse to say, well, there's more to come. He hasn't peaked yet, and there's more Group 1s in him. Look, I just want to touch on a couple other horses in that race. I thought Haraki was very good first up on a testing track, only with one soft trial under his belt, so he gets a double kick there. His stablemate, the three-year-old impending, was much better. And Music Magnate, well, you have to forgive any horse yesterday. He was sort of left in that middle of the track there. And Hugo Fiscola, who was, I must say, sensationally back. He was $8.390. Another 5 minutes, he would have started favourite here. Wow, he's had a tough run and just rocked right off there. So I know he looks a good horse, but there's a long road back for a horse that has a run like that. So if anyone can, you've played against
and the best. He pulled up with poor recovery and he lost a plate in the run as well. But they've got to go back to the drawing board with him. It seems a long way for a Cox plate now, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, at least you know, it's a long way, long time to go a Cox plate as well. But look, he just had an off day there yesterday, Greg.
Yep, here's the winning trainer, Chris Lees.
It's a pleasure to train. He's one of them uncomplicated geldings. It was an exciting finish, and to beat a champion on the line, it was very satisfying. I said he was a little bit underrated before, but he's never been in our books.
Good replacement for Lucia.
Yeah, he'll do.
Now, what's next?
He'll take on Winks in a couple of weeks. The Doncaster's been his aim from the time he came in.
Yeah, lovely spot in the run. I just had to squeeze him a little bit early just to clear Jeff on his knee, who was showing his normal speed. And I knew once I got there, this place was going to settle down, which is what I did. And I suppose he was as keen to get to the outside as I was as well, this horse. I think he must have walked the track himself. But once I got there, I thought he was going to win quite comfortably. And then, he challenged me quickly, and he probably put a neck on me. My fella wasn't going to lie down. He just really enjoyed it. He dug down deep, and it was really close at the line, and neither Tommy or I were sure which way it had gone.
Absolutely.
But I'm
the coaches you had in 3 years. Roy Masters was obviously a
wonderful performance by a very, very good racehorse. Let's hear what the jockeys had to say behind Glyn Schofield.
How do you respond to the
Zach Purden impending?
Yeah, he travelled in. He was into it like he was a winner, but when I let him down, he was just found wanting.
Ty England, too good to refuse.
Yeah, just hard, you know. Didn't really handle the track along the back, and you just can't quicken. It was a good run.
Joe Marrera, Japanese man.
He was a little bit unlucky, Tony Cahon, where the leader of the race started to drop back on my face. But even though when I got away off that horse and time to start to pick up, he just stuck sinking on the ground, and he just couldn't handle it.
Tommy Berry on one of the best beaten rides you'll see, Chautauqua.
Yeah, it sort of doesn't feel like it when you get beaten. He knows you look
what he showed me today is that he relaxed enough to go up to Doncaster if they want to head that path with him, but he wasn't handling the track very well early, so I couldn't put him out of his comfort zone. I had to let him travel on. Well, you can see when he started to be confident in it, because he really picked up ground easy.
But you're still convinced he's back?
He's back, don't worry.
Blake Shin, how racky?
How about the modern day,
the horse ran really well. He got beat 2.5 lengths. He can only benefit from that a little bit further. Is more to the horse's liking, and I think he's in for a really good campaign.
Kieran McAvoy, music magnate.
He just raced a little bit free with me through the early and middle stages of the race, and just had him a little bit empty late because of it.
Josh Parr, Ugo Foscolo.
Didn't travel all that well in the ground. Wasn't able to set a speed that I thought I'd be able to and have the field strung out a little bit and test a few of the horses first up, but I wasn't able to do that.
Fantastic.
And him having to take up a pretty good field into the straight on that sort of ground, it just didn't suit him at all.
Okay, so there's the beaten jockeys from that Canterbury Stakes, the Group 1. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at all the two-year-old racing from around the country in just a moment.
Yes.
But I think they're a different breed, the players of today. I've spoken to a lot of blokes involved in the game, and they're a different breed. They're getting paid a lot of money, which is okay. I can go along with that. But,
I tell you what, Tom, we've got sponsor commitments, speaking of money, that we have to meet. We've got to fly. We're going to have to wrap it up. Hey, Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure. Mm. Great to have you on the program. We do appreciate it, and no doubt we'll see you throughout the course of this rugby league season and beyond.
Yeah, good on you guys.
Thanks so much, Tom.
There he is, our legend of the game today, Tom Radonikis.
Talking for that hour.
Oh, straight shooter.
Warming up.
I tell you what, a straight shooter.
You hear
shooter.
The passion still in his voice, coming out of the game, and he'd be out there today if he had a chance.
Johnny Lewis trained how many? Six world champions? He said the most competitive bloke that he's ever trained.
Is that
Tom
right?
Radonikis.
Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. 1353-53, open 9 number. Break and back with Glenn Munsey. Glenn Munsey. Yeah, what do you know?
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The man shave helped my dad lose weight and feel better. Now dad takes me to the park and we play footy.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room are the hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at
593 Botany Road. Okay, it was a big shaping day for the Golden Slipper yesterday. Some favourites went down, some favourites stood up. Let's start with the Riesling. Here's a favourite who couldn't quite get it done. She Will Reign. We spoke with Tommy about Frolic. Well, he got to the outside lane. But the talking point here is She Will Reign, boys. What do you think?
Look, I've always maintained that she's never been a 2-1 favourite in the Golden Slipper, but she doesn't know that. I thought her performance was excellent. They seemed to roll along here on a very heavy track. She hit the front there, and she was just a sitting shot in the middle of the track there. But find out later was a fast lane out wide. So, the pack are a long way away. I think that's where she sits in the market. You know, I think she's always been. You don't have a $3 favourite in a Golden Slipper. A month, 5 weeks before the race, and that's what she's had to put up with. So now that she's been beaten, let's come back to reality. It's a total forgive run on a very heavy track. The winners found the fast lane out wide. There's nothing wrong with that performance, and I'm convinced she's going to run a big, big race in the Golden Slipper. The fact is, there's a price for every horse, and her price has been wrong all the way through.
Benny Millen told Gary Portelli as well that she didn't feel very comfortable, and when he was confident he got past from within, he was trying to look after her a bit with the Golden Slipper in mind in the fortnight. And then Wooshka off comes Bollock and sort of half-court napping a bit. So, and you note that in the last sort of 50 metres, when she gets right out to that towards that lane, she sort of holds her ground again on Frolic. So,
Glenn, I believe there were some races yesterday.
Yeah, if you're
a Rain
fan, I don't know if I'll be dropping off completely just yet.
Wasn't it a
an up.
Okay, well, Michael Freeman, who's soon to take up a contract in Hong Kong, has got himself a Golden Slipper runner.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably until she got out to that part of the track, she looked as though she might have been labouring a little bit, which is understandable in this sort of ground. But as soon as she got on that slightly better going, you know, she sprinted quickly like she did the other day. She can only do what she's done. You know, she obviously, it was a restricted race the other day, but today she's, you know, obviously the conditions aren't ideal, and there's probably a few that will come out of it with hard luck stories because of the track. But, you know, she can only do what she's doing, and I think she's had a really perfect prep going into the slipper, and now that she's gained a start, you know, she's got a nice 2 weeks.
Okay, Tommy Berry successful. We've already heard from Tommy. Let's hear from the beaten jockeys.
Joe Marrera from within.
Just couldn't handle the guy.
Zach Purton, she's on cue.
Yeah, she done anything right. Struggled in the ground a little bit, but stuck on gamely.
Glenn Schofield, Lucky Louie.
Look, she travelled a bit keenly with the blinkers on and didn't finish off.
Blake Shin, Villa Carlotta.
Well, I thought it was a very game effort. She got beat by two very good horses, obviously. And she stuck on well in that ground. It's very testing out there.
Ben Millam, she will reign.
I thought she ran really well. She was just really testing conditions, and I was never as confident today through the run. She sort of made hard work of it. Still ran really well, but I think if the track was a couple of grades better, it's probably a different story.
Hey, Jimmy, did you have a look at the
okay, so there's Ben Millam's thoughts after the defeat of She Will Reign. Let's go to the Todman now, boys, and it was the Snowdens who fought out the finish with Gunnison and Invader.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse, this. You always beware of the unbeaten horse. You know, he's slipping down the camera.
I can't believe he's done after winning the toss and batting.
No pressure on him.
That's a great effort from the Aussies here. I'd imagine
good odds when he's made in the camera, and then he backs it up here. Was a gutsy little win. I don't know where he fits in Golden Slipper calculations, but he's pretty hard to pot until he's beaten. He's ticked the dry box, the wet box. He's only a little fella, but he's got a little bit of heart. His stablemate's not much bigger as well. But at least I think Invader had that 1,200 metre run under his belt at Randwick leading into this on a wet track. So that stood him in good stead as far as toughness was concerned for that race. Raranillo, well, he's going well. He's just around the mark. He's crying out for those blinkers that they're waiting to put on in Golden Slipper Day. Whether he's good enough is a question mark. The talking point is the boom horse Minari. Now, he did the right thing, I would have thought, just necking him at the start and trying to get to the outside fence. He did a lot of work doing it. He's pulled up. Pretty ordinary.
Yeah, I think so, So he's, I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
He's got to go through a vet check before he races again, get a vet certificate. So, look, I've been on his back I was convinced he was the Golden Slipper horse. The colt I wanted to be on. He's going to struggle to get into the race now.
With that Invader, we see Invader going so close. We're going to get to Hootson in a moment. Of course, Hootson took care of Invader in the Magic Millions. Do we take a line through that, or do we say, no, they're two different races running a couple of months or a month and a half apart, 2 months apart, and on different tracks?
Yeah, I think the marketplace says that what's the difference between them now. So one's 25 to 1 and one's $5 or $4 or something, you know.
Okay, let's hear from Peter Snowden, who trained the Quinella.
He just keeps stepping up. You know, he's run it. His camera was very, very good.
It'll be an
average race. The way he won it, there's a lot of authority in it. He ran time. He's very genuine. He's trained on so well since. So I was quite confident. But with Gerald's horse there, I thought he's just another class above us. But I'll be happy to run a place. But to see him do what he did today, he did a pretty tough deal from the front. Blake wasn't. He's making sure he made a true run race under conditions, so I thought he did a tremendous job.
He jumped really well, and I elected to go to the front. He travelled really nicely under the conditions, where I think which is really important here today. And Invader challenged me at the 200, and it was a thrilling battle, especially going toe to toe with Joe. And my horse really dug deep, and it was a great finish.
Okay, winning jockey Blake Shin. Here are the jocks who finished behind Blake.
Brenton Abdallah, Veronillo.
He ran honest. It's hard to get, obviously. It's hard for a lead up, obviously, but I was happy with the way he ran when he got out to that sort of bit of part of the track. He kept sticking to his guns well.
Tommy Berry, showtime.
He went well. Still going a little bit keen in his races, and he hasn't really got a brilliant turn of foot. He just keeps going at the same pace. Feels like he's looking for 14 in a mile, but I'm not sure.
sure if you're relaxed enough to get
yeah,
to
really
the
well.
Stage.
How was that?
Tim Clark, Minari.
You know,
yeah, he looked like he was
going to
win, and just probably condition gave out on that really testing track, which he probably didn't love either.
Glenn Schofield, perhaps?
He wanted to travel a bit keenly early stages, but then as soon as I let his head go, he struggled in the ground.
Joe Marrera, Invader.
He's really a good run. Had every chance. Went for a fight, was just not good enough to be the winner. But amazing run.
Well, good morning, Cameron. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, two races down. We saw She Will Reign defeated. We saw Minari defeated. But favourite who did win yesterday was Hootson. Toby Edmonds had Hootson entered for three races on the weekend at Randwick, Canberra, and with 63 on its back at Eagle Farm, where he decided to run. And here's jumping Jeff Lloyd at his best again. And well, should this be favourite, Duff? Should Hootson be the real favourite for the Golden Slipper?
Well, I'm suggesting if you talk to the Queenslands, it should be $1.50, because they're very parochial. We can put up with the Mexicans, but once we get into a state of origin battle with the Queenslanders, where they're hard to talk any logic into. But one thing I'll say about her is that she's run time. There were 3,000 metre races on the day. She beat the time of the older horses, and that's the big box I like to tip off going into a slipper.
And what was the purpose
negatives
behind that?
She's never travelled interstate before. It's her first big trip away. She gets to 1,200 on a big track, not the tight turning Gold Coast track. So there's a few little things. What's the weather going to do? How tough a slipper is it? We know she's got gate speed and control races. Look, I'm only looking for negatives for her. There's lots of positives about her. There's no doubt about it. And maybe she should be the favourite. I don't know. This is one of these slippers that
in what way was it
usually by the Sunday 2 weeks out, I've already got five numbers in the frame. I've got no numbers in the frame. I want to get through today. I want to get through next week. I want to see the barriers. Well, this is there for the taking, this Golden Slipper.
I think Hoots and Greg, I reckon she definitely deserves to be favourite. A clear standout favourite for mine. Nothing's really got near her so far in her career. I guess, look, the only query with that older, comparing to the older horses, Duff, is the quality of horses in Queensland is not quite the same as it is in Sydney. So if she was comparable to horses in Sydney, I'd be declaring it.
Duff, if you want to upset the Queenslanders claiming Hootson, can I just point out something? The father, I'm Invincible, lives just up there.
Yep. I need some ammo, I can tell you. They're hammering me.
The mother set to unleash... did live up there, but she's moved over there. The trainer, Toby Edmonds, lived down the road at Maitland and then moved to Scone at White Park just over there.
Yep.
And the jockey's originally a Pom who moved to South Africa.
Who got the
SF gives me a little bit to work with anyway.
So can we say that's SF, Greg, because it's Scone form?
Scone form.
If you listen to the Queenslanders, it's fair dinkum the next Bicky Tin Blues.
All right, now let's go to this race. Now let's keep the Hootson theme going, because Medina ran second to Hootson in the Magic Millions, and she was in action at Flemington yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think they expected more. She was an odds-on favourite. Just reading between the lines, she absolutely melted behind the barrier and pre-parade. You can probably see that in the run where she seems to be a lather of sweat there. So she was run down by a first starter, a stablemate. So I don't know whether her Golden Slipper dream's still alive. She's been up since pretty well this spring. She's been to Sydney, she's been to the Gold Coast, she's back home. She's a good filly, but
Cameron, Josh McCrone,
I don't know what David's thinking
with
her now that she was beaten yesterday. I think most of her prize money comes from
at St. George of the Wild. How's Josh coping with that? And I guess that weight of expectation on his shoulders.
Wyong and Gold Coast. She's been around, picked up a few bucks.
Doesn't count, though, does it?
No, that doesn't count. She did win a race pre-season. Look, I don't know where she sits in things. You don't want a horse getting run over at 1,000 metres leading into a Golden Slipper. That's all I know.
I haven't had any info on Medinity, Greg, but I can tell you Tulip's coming up for the Magic Night next weekend. Of course, that's Medinity's stablemate, so maybe that's an indicator that Medinity's not coming up.
And we've still got that Pogo Pogo. We've got Single Bullet, who was sort of after the bias 2 weeks ago. He should have nearly won that race. So he's 50 to 1. If he wins, he's going to be a $10 chance. And Conda Heroes, the unsighted horse, is running next Saturday. He's the horse who can't run down when he runs into that headwind in the Breeders' Plate. He's a very interesting horse.
He's a good horse. And Gerald's already said that if he was to win next weekend, he's quite confident he'd be able to back him up into the Golden Slipper. As is the case with Alizé, the sister to Stern. She's 12. Like an absolute bomb. Early this week or last week. And she'll run in the Magic Knight. And if she wins that, I'm told she'll back up into the Golden Slipper as well.
Okay, well, what do we think about the Black Opal and how much of an effect that's going to have today, boys?
To keep an eye out for that, Cam. You've alerted us to that.
And Trekkie is supposed to be the Dolphins' number one seed. He's had one soft trial. So this is a very, very important watch race as far as the Gold Slipper is concerned. There's no doubt about it.
You were pretty keen on Cuba, even was down there on the $17 line.
Really appreciate your time this morning, Cam.
Well, he was due to run.
He loomed up and knocked up the other day.
Cameron McGinnis is the hooker for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. They were big winners.
What about Reflectivity as well?
We've covered some ground. We've got more to come. We're live from Scone. Country Championship Day today. Rain's clearing, which is great news. We're going to have a chat to Greg Bennett and look at that race towards the end of the show. But right now, break, and when we come back, more of the very wet Randwick from yesterday.
Together. Everyone is welcome to attend the mass in the Royal Randwick Ballroom. Randwick Racecourse at 11 a.m. Sunday, March 12.
Lionel, we need to talk.
What about, Mum?
About replacements.
Replacements?
The next generation, Lionel. It's time.
Oh, thanks, Mum. I knew I was ready.
I'm talking about TVs.
I knew you were. There's never been a better time to buy a TV at Bingley.
Because?
The next generation TVs are on the way. Samsung, LG, Sony, Panasonic, Hisense, Chang Hong. We've never had a TV clearance like it.
Did you really think you could replace me?
Oh, never, Mum.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres
at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. This man, role reversal for him. This time we're going to interview him rather than he be the interviewee, and it's Sean Cosgrove joining us on the line. Sean's on his way. I think you're at Scone, Sean, for the Big Country Championship qualifier. Have you arrived yet?
I am Ryan. Jimmy, I got here and I brought the rain with me. Yeah, absolutely lovely.
Yeah, how much rain have you got so far?
Look, I'm not too sure. It's broken now. It looks like it's clearing now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we're having sort of a good four, good three, according to Ross's tweet yesterday. But slow five down. You know, just not, it's been steady. It's been rain all night. Never mind.
Welcome back. Let's have a look at the Challenge Stakes now. And English was back in town yesterday, Duff.
And she was very, very good, too. She hardly had the best place on the track.
Yeah, well, that's what you mean.
She
was
a little bit of a question mark on a very heavy track, but class prevailed here, definitely. I thought it was close to one of the wins of the day. We know how good she is when she's right. She didn't come up in the spring. She might be just an autumn mare. She may be just a 1,000-metre horse. Who knows? Because her record over the 1,000. She won this race last year, first up, and
she was pretty good. Red Zell was pretty good. Was a better race, but Absorbed Moonwich was terrific.
Yeah, she only had two horses to her inside as well, so the majority of that pack were out there in the better ground. I agree with Duff. I thought it was one of the wins of the day.
We all talk about her, how she used to play up in the yard and get on the toe, and how she'd come of age in the spring where she was nice and relaxed. I thought Lizzie Gels pulled up a good point with her. She's at her best when she's on that nervous energy. When she's jogging around, you know she's on a game, and she was yesterday.
Okay, let's hear what the Beaten Brigade had to say.
Who's the one to beat, Cozzy?
Oh, look, Careless Choice. Everyone's tipping him as they're just saying he's a better bet than Death. Careless Choice, that he's that good.
Complete forgive, travel really well in the run, but as soon as I put him under pressure, he just felt the track, so I looked after him.
Tim Clark, wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, he's just been a class.
Brendan Abdullah, felines.
Trying on a sum, looks good for the ground, right, but first up on that testing ground is sort of up,
Luke Nolan, Cepedo.
He's also got Sass at the end, I dare say, all summer.
He's heading right, in the right direction.
Kieran McAvoy, Red Cell.
Yeah, good effort. He's he showed that he's handled that ground, and it took a good race man to beat him. He's very brave in defeat. He was coming back on the line.
Glenn Schofield, Del Cello.
Look, he started a bit tough today in this heavy ground. He couldn't quite quicken up when I needed him to, but his last little bit was encouraging.
Well, look at three sheets.
Okay, let's move on to the Fireball now. And this was a win for the Gerald Ryan camp. And Corey Brown, Samantha.
Oh, I think just being a very fit filly and being ridden a little bit quieter certainly played into her hands here. She was good. She was a little bit disappointing in a previous start. The two wins prior to that on Softy's going was good. So I reckon she earned that black type yesterday. It was a nice ride from Corey, and she got the job done well. This horse, this second horse, Glen All, may just be out of maiden class, but he's probably thrown in a little bit of the deep end yesterday, but I reckon he's been judged for his class as this horse. That was an excellent performance from him. Super Maxi,
I've still got some $2
pretty good. He battled on okay. Faith, I did Faith on call bleed. I think she may have had a bleed.
Good on you, Cosy. Have a great day. I hope your horse runs really well and have a good day all round.
Look, there's a story of the race of Scarlet Road, which is subject to a steward's inquiry at the state open.
Yeah, I'm not coming to work tomorrow.
It went from hard $2 to $1 or $3 favourite to unlayable at $4.80 at the finish there. When that happens and they tail off, obviously you've got to ask questions.
Mark Van Gestel, he's having the inquiry. He spoke to co-trainer Adrian Bottle, who was on course at Randwick yesterday. Body provided him, they've obviously got a copy of the veterinary records already, which gets sent to the team, but Body also provided him with the track work sheets from the waterhouse and
have a look
and
at
stable
some
and,
really good horses running around today.
The horse definitely worked on Tuesday morning. She didn't
number, but before we
do a
that,
huge amount, but I know she worked last Saturday morning and flew, so I'm not sure what's going to come of it, guys, but certainly they've got to ask some questions when there's a drift like that, don't they?
Here's Tanya Thomas. Okay, here's Gerald Ryan and Corey Brown.
Nathan Lyon overnight in Bangalore.
When
the Aussie spinner taken
8 for 50
on day one of the second cricket test against India.
I said this is going to be the best Mitchell filly I've had since Switzerland. And then she almost got to a race. She's a little light thing. She almost got to a race and she started to feel the pinch and drop away a little bit. So we only gave her the one run and Corkscrew turned her out. And she came back a hell of a lot stronger. The whole aim has been the PJ Bell. So we'll just sit Bell and see where we go from here. You know, she's in the Arrowfield and all that, but I don't think she's up to that class. But it doesn't matter. She's a little stakes winner now from Mr. Alamondi and another one who couldn't sell it himself. Didn't get a bit of 60,000 for her, and she's come back. She's a bonny little filly who just tries her heart out.
To her credit, she really dug deep, especially she flicked a lead leg over about 150 and just found like a length length and a half really, really sharply. I know she had no weight on her back, but still, it was a good effort. She got back. We had a bit of a dodging car match on her home turn. Just getting rocking and rolling, she got a bit unbalanced. But like I said, to her credit, she dug deep and won
one more.
Okay, let's hear from the jockeys finishing behind Corey.
Devastating loss for the Brumbies in
Tommy Berry, Super Maxi.
Down to the Sharks,
yeah, look, he went super.
The Sharks scoring the
didn't handle the heavy tank conditions. I think his heavy age probably
in other matches,
worst he wants it. He's bobbed down a little bit late, but he's going super the horse.
Crusaders 30, Highlanders
Britain have Dalla Gloria.
The Kings 37, okay,
obviously up in grade a fair bit, but she ran midfield and stuck to her guns like
Adam Hieronymus, Scarlet Rain.
Yeah, never comfortable on the track from the 600 onwards.
Certainly lived up to the hype at last
Jason
night's
Collett,
Super
Honesty
Netball
prevails.
Game at High Sense Arena between GWS
away.
And Collingwood. Giants won the match 59-51
Kieran
to remain undefeated in a very intense.
Yeah, that was a nice first up run.
Well, in the second match,
into it without entirely loving the ground over the last spell.
Tim Clark, Glen All.
Yeah, I thought he ran really well. Probably the inside draw got him beat, but I thought his effort was really good. Race of the 2017
Jay Marrera, Martonte.
She was a little bit green. Adelaide. King, and for that she wasn't able to finish off. But she's got ability, it's just that she doesn't know what race is about yet.
Glenn Schofield, Conchita.
Yeah, good run.
maybe the really heavy ground first up just found her out over 1,100, but she was right in it for a long way.
Harness Racing Chantry last night.
Okay, let's move to the Group 3 Winona Girl. We spoke to Tommy about Rocket Commander, and he dedicated the win to a very special girl. Yesterday it was Rocket Commander getting home for Matty Doe.
Yeah, a moderately run race, West and that gives the chance, the leaders a chance to kick and get out wide. It was a good ride by the second horse,
the
by Joe on
Pyroglyphics.
He did exactly what he had
NBL
to do
today,
sprinted quickly and got out there quickly. And you would have thought she had Rocket Commander's measure at this stage, but the key to the race was that Rocket Commander was backing up after a 1,400-metre run, where the winner had to come up from a sprinting distance, 1,100 metres to 1,200 here. And that told, with the fit legs digging
Murray,
in there the last few strides.
Zestful
was
in the
very, very good.
Championships,
she's
and that win will see him
probably better on a drier track,
Djokovic,
so I thought her
at the top of the world rankings,
excellent.
Particularly
but,
after
all
Djokovic
in all,
went down to
a moderately run race,
the
and the
Mexico
two
Open,
horses on
the
inside
the
sprinted at the right time with just the fitter horse.
And Justin Thomas tops the leaderboard late in the third
round. Yeah, I think Nancy's a horse that when she gets back on top of the ground, if she can find a dry track in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I reckon she's one we can follow as well.
And Phil Mickelson.
Okay, guys, we're off to a break, and on the way to that break, here are the beaten jockeys behind Rocket Commander and Tommy Berry.
So Dustin Johnson travelling quite nicely there, under enormous pressure.
Joe Marrera, Hieroglyphics.
The great man, the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
Yes, she tries very harsh.
Who said to him when he
probably
was at world
going,
number two that he
probably
can do
got
better
her
than that?
To get out a little bit at the finish.
One, let's hope some of the pressure has been taken
off. That's where we lost the race. She gave me a good feel.
I don't think so. I think the great one had
a harder grass.
When's
the Masters
Zestful. One of them, have you?
Jumped very well.
Get ready for that. Good on you, Tan. Appreciate that. Time to go for a break. Before we go,
I wasn't able to get that today. Probably just
topics.
Took away from
the finish line. Inspired by Greg Inglis staying on the field there.
Jay Ford, Queen of Kariba.
Yeah, she was honest enough. Come off the bridle well before
the
600 and struggled to pick them up, but kept grinding away, honestly.
Had to be short.
Kieran McAvoy, Serene Majesty
with his mate. Yeah, it was a pleasing run. She played on till halftime. When he had the rips stitched up.
Clods and whatever in her face down the side, and I was worried that she wasn't going to run on, but... she ended up getting some,
okay,
some room to move in the straight and finished on solidly the last
before,
two furlongs. So, good first out run, she'll have proof from that.
Blake Shin Nancy.
Good run, she was a winner at the 300, but the weight and the heavy grounds took its toll at the finish.
What a ticker. We'll need that and a bit more this year, South Sydney. She's right about that, Michelle.
Good morning, boys. Darren Lockie is 2011 semi final Golden Point field goal win over St George Illawarra with a fractured cheekbone. There you go, Matt Narrabeen. Yes, I do remember that. Legendary Darren Lockyer. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We've got Scotty Foster. We'll try and get a couple of calls in as well. It's all happening. It's the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Fancy a trip for two to the Hong Kong International, Melbourne Cup, or the Cox Plate? Enter the Sky Sports Radio NRL tipping competition for a crack at these great prizes. Thanks to Ambassador Travel.
And what a reward!
Simply go to the Big Sports Breakfast website, click enter on the competition link, then follow the prompts to register and submit your tips. The Sky Sports Radio NRL tipping comp, adding even more excitement and bragging rights to the 2017 footy season.
Penrith Mazda Centre are the BT50 experts. Come and see the newly appointed Mazda Ute Centre at Penrith Mazda with over 50 utes on display. Let the specialists at Penrith Mazda Centre tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. Penrith Mazda Centre, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer with more than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. So you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda Centre, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Welcome back to Thoroughbred Weekly. It was an amazing day for finishers yesterday, Duff and Nick. Apart from the first and the last, every race in between, there was some excitement as they got to the line, and this race was no different. The Aspiration Comedy, it was El Lou victorious. Great effort over a mile and a half.
Yeah, look, I thought it was a very good ride, but I doubted her on a heavy track at a mile, but he cuddled up. and then let us briefly get out
back
there
on the radio
with an uninterrupted
and
passage
Sons,
and
quality cars.
I thought it was
great to have
back
the season 2017 as well. G'day, Scotty.
Of an inform
Good morning,
Jimmy. The Godolphin horse, Allegria, ready to win now.
Rumour is
that Ben Dancer was pretty good, but his first
run
in a while.
The house down.
There has to be excuses for Song and Laughter. They just bolted mid-race.
I certainly have.
Well, not worked. They pulled away in front about the 700 there. It was entitled to drop off.
Boys, the off-season's been good.
She's been good without winning the whole preparation.
All right, let's start off with a bang. Let's start off some Georgia Lawara style.
Yeah, her problem was she had
really
on her as well.
First up, what do you got for the listeners?
Ben Dancer, what about the betting move there, boys?
Yeah, she came up a lot shorter than anticipated, and she raced accordingly. You know, I would have thought she would have lacked a bit of match practice, having a little break between runs, but they had her ready to go, and they picked up a bit of black tie.
I thought with El Lou as well, that all her wet form had been on soft track, not so much heavy, so that was a good box for her to tick yesterday.
Yeah, he's got to go anywhere else.
Got more safety options than I can mention. It also
okay, let's hear from the Beaten Brigade.
Side steps, a tow bar,
Tommy Berry, Van Dancer.
Yeah, look, she's outspun it a little bit at the top of the straight.
The
she's obviously better once she gets to 2,000, so she's right on track.
Andrew Atkins, so real.
I need to go to the front, just pointing late. Dry track.
Tim Clark, Allegria.
Yeah, she ran really well. She's come back in good order and sure her wind's not too far away.
And Scotty, if anyone needs any help,
Corey Brown, Mo Queen.
Oh, look, she didn't run too bad, but second up over the mile, it's just way too far for her on that condition.
Blake Shin, ambiance.
Look, I thought the horse ran well. She's ticking over nicely. Got sort of buffeted at a crucial part of the race, but she's one to look out for in the future.
Joe Marrera, Zaruta.
She had a beautiful run through. She was just able to finish off on the last run.
Jay Ford, Song and Laughter.
Yeah, she was brave, but she went too keen throughout and that cost a lot.
Okay, and to the last of the day, the Randwick City Stakes. And Duff, everything set up perfectly here for Astronomos.
No good against the balls in and the everything Shield. Worked out that way too. Everything went according to script here. He had all the stats in the world, the wet, the second up stats, the Randwick form. He found the right race, and he bounced back. Like I said, it was a race that everyone scripted, and it doesn't always work out that way, but it certainly did here. This was never in doubt. In retrospect, the $3.30 was an amazing price. Cafe Society was terrific. First up, 2,000 metres bomb track, although it wasn't a testing race. Montauk's fit and run on. It wasn't Tinema's style of race. They absolutely walked there, and he's a more of a stayer who needed them to run along. So don't give up on him as the races get longer. But just had every possible thing go his way yesterday, Astronomos, and he delivered. He can move on again if he gets another. The wet track, he's obviously got to get up to another level now. And
big game.
I think John Thompson's half eyeing off the Doom Cup. I think that might be the right level for Astronomos.
It's not an easy race to win,
but the horse has travelled to Brisbane before, so he's familiar with the territory up there. I really liked Kinema there, Duff. I know you said it hit the nail on the head. It was the wrong style of race for the horse, but I'm looking forward to seeing him out at 2,400 metres.
I might go out to Brookie and watch Parramatta.
A threat down to nothing will beat my Antonio, who goes around this weekend. I can't wait.
Big game out.
Putting race on Saturday and still get some entry. Okay. Behind Collard, here are the rest of the jocks.
Good on you, mate. You'll be back next week.
Tommy Berry, Montauk.
The pace work didn't help us today. They just went way too slow.
Spinner's
done a great job to finish off already.
Brendan Abdullah, allergic.
He ran honest. Just bogged down a bit in that ground, but his last 100 was all right. A bit of fun.
Corey Brown, Charmoneza.
John, run nice. I thought he was going to run right into it, but probably quality just an ask girl.
Tim Clark, Cafe Society.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good performance first up, 2,000 and that sort of track. He got along really well.
Joe Marrera, Kinema.
He ran terrifically. He was a little bit keen. Hanging in a little bit. The first three quarters of the race, and on the straight, he kept on running on strongly. He did never give up. It indicates that he can go even further.
Billy Smith's the best halfback in the world. He should have been picked. That was stuck in my gut all those years. Yeah. Billy was out with about his 13th broken wrist, but he'd come back and he'd. the wrist was okay, but he was only just playing club football, and they were too scared to pick him, I think.
Fair enough.
What a great player, Billy Smith.
He
was honest, Tom. He was honest, Tom, for a long time.
Billy Smith doesn't get enough recognition like the other three blokes over there, you know.
Good
Chinga
point,
and all them.
Yeah. That's
Smith
a good point. That's a good point. He played in the centres for Australia.
When he first started with St George's in the centres.
Was he playing the centres for Australia?
He might have.
Yeah, he played centre, because they had another good halfback at the time. But they couldn't leave him out. He was that good.
Yeah, absolutely.
He tackled as good as Raper and give the ball to everybody, not himself. He's never greedy with the ball. And he invented those kick-throughs and up and under punts and collect the ball again, you know.
Yeah.
He was so good. People should go back and watch his...
Good call, John.
Good on you, John.
Thanks,
good on you.
Thanks, John.
You're right.
Call.
Underappreciated player in
Billy
the game,
Smith,
Billy
great
Smith.
Player.
Outstanding in those Dragon sides at that
He'd
time.
He'd be a good legend, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Let's go to callers. Rod?
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Good morning, Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Rod.
Yeah, been waiting a long time, mate, but it's worth it because I've got something for your audiences and yourselves.
Yeah.
We're talking about horse courage here. Horses are battle horses. They're bred that way. Mm-hmm. They live on endorphins. And they'll die for you if they love you, you know. Here's an example, right? This year's Cotswold Chase.
Welcome back to the Australian Guineas now. Hey Doc had won a Stud Stakes. He won a C.S. Hayes Stakes, Group 2, Group 3. Now he's won a Group 1.
Died after he beat
he was pretty good too, wasn't he?
He
drew that beautiful barrier. He had a charm running transits there. And a little bit hairy early when he just wanted to grab the bit and not settle. But then he got into his rhythm and everything went according to plan. He was good in the lead up. Little doubts in finishing right off at the mile. Considering the circumstances where he just
got his
confidence.
I'll tell you what we'll do. No doubt that's on YouTube. We'll tweet that out from our
Twitter account. Which was good going on the inside there yesterday. He was pretty dominant. Tony Mack was first Group 1 winner on his own sort of thing.
A full preview of today's country championship qualifier being Scone, Gary Harley and Simon Harrison. John Scores will preview Black Opal Day at Canberra. That'll be at 11:30. And of course, stay listening tomorrow morning from 5:30. TK and Slats are back. And I'll have the heroes and villains for the BSB Monday program. But that's it,
Ray. He might come up here. Look, that was the goal for him this autumn. But Tony McEvoy will weigh up at a potential start.
Doncaster,
one horse.